That song by Taylor Swift.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know the one.
Yeah, the Taylor Swift song.
She wrote us a song. Are her levels good?
I think so. Good enough.
Good enough for government podcasting.
Yeah, the government told me that I had to podcast and. That's why we're podcasting again this week. I had quit after the new year, but...
The government came back and said, one more job. Right?
Yes, exactly.
Well, we've been actually recruited by a secretive branch of the government to investigate strange and inexplicable happenings in the world of pornography.
We have indeed, and because of that, it's time once again.
For the Raincoat Files. I don't have any, like...
We don't have the button for the Raincoat Files.
There was never a button.
No.
I don't even have anything, like, scientific or, like, scary. I got the ghost that boos you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We should have a theme.
We should.
Would anyone out there like to write a theme? If so, send me one, and we'll use it.
Yes.
And then we'll have you write special variations on it when we do things like the Raincoat Files.
Yes, we will give you extra work after you do the initial work.
Yeah, because you did such a good job.
Exactly.
I wouldn't have you do it if I didn't think you were going to do it right.
Yeah, we trust you.
We trust you. And you should trust us, the government.
I guess we are the government now.
Yeah, we're sponsored. We've got a black budget.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how much is on our black budget?
It's hard to say.
Okay.
It's classified.
That's fair. I took some, like, discretionary funds from it recently, and I won't say what I did with them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, that came up empty. It was a bummer. I thought I had a lead on some classic adult paperbacks.
Oh.
But they were more of the, like, soft, pulpy variety the filth that I was craving. So I came away empty-handed. But you're not getting that money back.
Well, shit.
It's the least you could pay me for my years of free service.
Yeah, I guess, probably. I don't know. None of this matters.
Oh, it matters.
Because
they're going to audit us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because we're part of the government now. It's fine. We'll be like the Pentagon. They won't actually get any numbers out of us.
Yeah.
I'm going to use the... actually, I'm going to use that money you got me to buy a shredder. I'm going to get shredding some documents right now.
Yeah, so... Of course, this is the Raincoat Report, and this is Boss here with Jeremy.
Hello.
You know, the last time that we recorded... I, like, did the math in my head and was like, oh, yeah, I guess we're just not going to have an episode the first week of the year. And it turns out I did that math wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But then the stars aligned so that regardless, we couldn't do that episode anyway. So you had forced overtime.
Yeah, they put me down in the mines.
And then I got COVID.
Yeah.
And I've been sick for like 2.5 weeks, but I'm better-ish today. I'm much better today than I have been, at least.
You've been sick since the last time we podcasted. Maybe before that.
Yeah.
You've been kind of slowly like dying since Thanksgiving, it seems
yeah,
like.
Yeah, Thanksgiving was when it started, and ever since then, it's just been a slow decline.
Yeah. You're on the upswing now, I can tell. You look healthy.
I am comparatively healthy.
You sound weak.
I am weak sounding. I'm still a little congested.
I can hear it.
I've got mucus all up in me.
Well, that's perfect. We're going to investigate that mucus. I've got this probe the government gave me.
That is a plastic fork with one of the prongs broken off.
That is what they said it would look like.
Oh, okay.
But that it is actually a probe. Look, there's one for one nostril. Also, it's a COVID test.
Oh, to, yeah.
double check you. Yeah. Come here.
No.
Okay. Well, if you won't let me do my investigation and be like the molder, what do you got for us, Scully? What are you saying sensible thing do you have?
Well, I have decided to look towards the sky and the stars. And
that's what I do.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've decided to do the same, but I found something, unlike you.
Oh.
I found, far away in the galaxy, a starship speeding by. That starship, of course, being Starship Eros. Directed by Scott McAuley.
Yes, from 1980.
Yes. It is set in the far distant future of 1995.
Yes.
And it's a future where men aren't very prominent. And in fact, in the world of Starship Eros, we have an all-female crew.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception, of course, of Quasar, who is neither male or female technically.
No.
But has some male traits.
Yes, he's a robot. He's a cyborg, maybe.
Yeah, he's got biological traits to him, as we'll get into.
It's like the Terminator.
Yes.
Well, no. That was all just like a skin over a robot, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this one maybe just has skin over his bottom half.
It could be. They kind of get into it. Hey, that's one thing about sci-fi I never really... Where's the science, buddy? You have plenty of the fi. It's fiction.
Yeah.
Did you know that? Did you forget that?
I know
that?
Now.
You've forgotten.
I have like COVID brain. Channel.
Yeah, you're all foggy. You've got long COVID.
Shit.
Yeah, this is it for you. But 1995, what a year.
Yeah.
What a cast.
It's the year that Primus released Tales from the Punch Bowl.
Yes.
And the year that Starship Eros launched into the space with Lily Rogers as Commander Venus.
I would really say the 1995 they envisioned was more utopian than the one we got.
Yeah, I would say so.
Especially perhaps more feminist, because I'm looking at a year in history on Google. O.J. Simpson is found not guilty. you know, Windows 95, of course.
Of course.
Big setback for women, Windows 95. Right? Oh, there's a Million Man March. And so much stuff will happen.
Yeah, Million Man March, not a single woman.
No, and Well, that's when the women took control, I think.
Oh, okay, when all the men were marching?
Yeah, they rounded them up. And, you know, you see what happens. What else happened in that year? The film Toy Story came to theaters.
Oh, yeah.
Or will come to theaters.
In the future, in 1995.
Yes. Yeah, we're back on the main timeline. We're figuring out the timeline. I'm just going to talk about events of 1995 for a moment.
I'm still got my long COVID, so the
I'm really
time and
advantage.
Space really have no meaning to me anymore.
Oh, the Oklahoma City bombing. in Japan, the city of Kobe experiences an earthquake. There were... Oh, no. Over 6,000 deaths.
Oh, well, that's no good.
1995. Not so great.
But in space, it was awesome.
Though this says... Oh, hold on.
Or will be awesome? I don't know what's happening.
It's going to be great. Don't worry about it. Let me just do a quick Google search for this person just to... who we got here? Oh, that's a guy. The Russians name their guys weird stuff. This guy's name is Valerie. But Russian cosmonaut Valery Polyakov set the record for longest amount of time a person has been in space.
Oh.
About a year, but I don't know. I think the women of Starship Eros have been out there a lot longer.
Well, I don't know. They come aboard at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They haven't even launched.
But they might have stayed.
They don't even launch for half the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I had COVID, but it feels like it. Oh, Pamela Anderson marries drummer Tommy Lee, becoming Pamela Lee Anderson. Another setback for women.
Yes. And, of course, let's not forget their contribution to the film world. Where Tommy Lee steers a boat with his cock.
Doomsday Clock. Yes, of course. I saw that when I was like 13.
Oh, yeah? I've seen like little clips of it, but I haven't actually watched it.
The whole thing is just kind of their video. There's a lot of them not fucking, but there is also a lot of him steering with his dick. Doomsday Cult Shinryoko releases sarin gas on the Tokyo subway in Japan. 13 people die. Boy, there's a lot going on in 1995.
Yeah.
Or will be. I would also like to go into space to get away from the chaos of Earth 95.
Well, you're going to have to find a different starship, because...
Selena got shot?
Oh, shit.
By Yolanda Saldivar. That's woman-on-woman violence. Another setback for women. What is going on? Oh, boy. When you read the news from a year, like, all in a couple minutes, you really get scared. Do you want to hear some good news from 1995?
Yes.
Okay, introduce the cast and crew, and I'll look for some.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be fourth. It's going to take a moment. It's not going to jump in my face like the tragedies.
So, there's not the very big...
I can't believe the Tokyo subway attack and the Oklahoma City bombing happened in the same year. That's wild.
Yeah.
It's, what a big year.
Well, it was also a big year because of Commander Venus... The leader of the mission on Starship Eros is played by Lily Rogers. She is joined by a new officer, that being Captain Christine Moon, played by Becky Savage.
Sorry. I just read one about how a young boy was declared the reincarnation of the llama, and then the very next sentence is about how the Chinese authorities detained him 3 days later.
Oh, well, shit.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that one's not... I was like, oh, never mind.
We also have Bev, one of the officers on the ship, played by Holly Joy, or as she's credited here, Beth Evans. We also have appearances by Angela Emerson and Linda Russell. And our single male cast member being Mike Ranger, who plays both Venus's servant and, under a bit of costumery,
mm-hmm.
Quasar.
Yes. The
C-3PO ripoff.
Well, yeah. It was the he's a protocol droid.
Yes.
He sure is, you know?
Yeah, and then he's quite a bit more helpful in Starship Eros than C-3PO was in Star Wars, I'd say.
I would say, you know, on the whole, yeah.
He's certainly in the hole.
He's better at his, like, stated functions.
Yes.
But maybe that's not really C-3PO's fault. He never wanted to get involved in all that.
Yeah, I guess not.
If the movie had been about C-3PO doing his job, it probably would have been fine. But I found some things in 1995 that put women forward.
Okay, let's hear them.
On February 28th, fictional columnist Bridget Jones makes her first appearance.
Okay.
And on September 4th, Xena Warrior Princess starring Lucy. God damn, I cannot read copy for my life.
It's because of your COVID brain.
I don't even have it. I think I just got a little bit from you.
You just gotten it since you came here.
Yeah. But, yeah. Xena Warrior Princess.
Yes.
Debuts on television. And also, Courtney Love crashes an interview with Madonna and throws makeup at her.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. I don't know why she did it. It doesn't give me any context, but... Sorry, I just caught that they also published the Unabomber's Manifesto. Man, what a scary time.
Thankfully, nowadays, things aren't scary at all.
Yeah, things are going... Things have been fine lately.
Yeah, things are great.
Yeah, in 2024... No, wait. Is it 1995 yet or not?
I don't know what's happening.
Okay, but you've introduced our cast and crew.
I have introduced our cast and crew.
I've run down a series of notable and tragic events from the far distant year that was 1995.
That was and will be 1995.
Yeah, I'm like... Crispus or whatever, that guy that Ed Wood had.
Criswell.
Crispus.
Crispus.
Merry Crispus, one and all.
All right, well, I guess that's as good as any time for us to go ahead and take a break.
Sounds good.
And we'll be back to talk a little bit more about Starship Eros.
GoldenEye came out.
The
film. I don't know if the game came out.
The game didn't come out for like 2 more years.
That's what I was thinking, that it had been out for a bit. But the film that sparked a beloved video game was released in theaters.
Yes.
That rejuvenated the career of Pierce Brosnan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was also the year that we launched... Fuck.
Sorry, I just, Calvin and Hobbes ended.
Oh, shit.
What a dark year.
But on the brighter side of things, it was the year that Starship Eros launched. And,
you've said that like 20 times now.
Yeah, it's because I keep trying to get us back on track.
I'm sorry. Since the government gave me these funds, I've been taking a bunch of... experimental drugs. They call them research chemicals. And I've been able to access the Akashic record, which is a record of pretty much all time and space that you can kind of like read like a big book. And I've got really hooked on like just figuring out what's going to happen in 1995.
Okay.
And every new revelation startles me.
Clearly.
It's like having dead zone powers.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And I just look on in horror. So I'm going to just observe quietly, and you tell us about your little spaceship.
Okay. So Starship Eros opens on a starfield, and we get our cast credits to some spacey, beepy-boopy electronic music. The credits, of course, feature, amongst other things, Quasar as himself.
Mm-hmm.
As our credits finish, we get on screen, 1995. So we cut to a shot of a woman undressing next to a hot tub outside that seems to be full of bubble bath.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Commander Venus, as I said before, played by Lily Rogers. Here's your drink, Commander. Mike Ranger, playing his servant, hands her a drink. From off screen, a mixed drink of sorts. Commander Venus rubs the soapy suds onto her nipples as she sips her drink in the tub. She climbs out of the tub and dries off with a towel outside as a jazzier number begins to play. She starts to lotion up her body as she sits in a large wicker chair. Soon, Commander Venus is fingering herself and licking her nipples as well. We spend a couple of minutes watching her caress herself before she gets an urgent call from HQ, which her servant brings her the phone for. They tell her that she needs to report to her ship, adding that she has a new executive officer reporting to her. Her servant, who handed her the phone, tells her that her flight suit is ready and her car is waiting. Commander Venus tells him, good, then there's time for you to do me. So the servant puts away the phone and quickly undresses. Commander Venus grabs his big hog and begins to suck away to a jazzy, piano-heavy number.
Yeah, this music isn't too spacey.
It isn't, no.
And I don't remember this kind of music being popular in 1995 either.
After a moment, she tells the servant it's his turn. Eat me. Yeah, 1995 was more of like the Enya time.
Sure. I could look up songs.
It was the late days of grunge, and it was the rise of like that adult contemporary new age Enya shit.
Yeah, you think so? Was that what your mom was listening to?
I think that was a little bit of what my mom was listening to.
My mom liked Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
My mom didn't. I think it was about over, but I just remember the early 90s there being a lot of Garth Brooks and Wilson Phillips.
Yeah.
And she didn't really listen to a ton of music other than just like the 70s and 80s radio station, far past that. But I remember hearing a little bit of like Enya type stuff. Is that the year that the Mortal Kombat movie soundtrack came out?
I think
it might be 1995.
That is the year of the soundtrack and the film. Yeah, so that's another highlight. It gave us Christopher Lambert as Raiden.
Yes, it sure did. So the servant gets on his knees and begins to go down on Commander Venus. After a bit of this, she tells him she's ready now. And the servant begins to fuck Commander Venus as she lays back on this wicker chair. And he really slams it into her for a while.
She is thrashing about in this wicker chair. You hear it creaking and croaking.
The servant spends a few minutes banging away pretty hard before pulling out and coming on her breasts.
Looking at the Hot 100 singles in 95, I think we're biased because we're white. It was pretty much just all like R&B and the like, you know, Boys to Men and Shaggy and so forth. Though Bon Jovi had a hit. Bon Jovi had a hit.
What hit was that?
A song called Always.
I don't remember that one.
No, I remember My Way, but that was a few years later.
Yeah.
He said, like Frankenstein, I did it my way. You remember that?
I don't remember that. I remember, like, It's My Life. That was, like, 2000-ish, 2002. Oh, yeah.
That's the same song. Frankenstein, okay. I got it mixed up with that Frank Sinatra song.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Frankenstein, I did it my way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, anyway, Boys to Men, Gangsta's Paradise.
No, yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah, which I think means that year or a year later, of course, Amish Paradise came out.
Yes. I think Gangsta's Paradise, was that like the Dangerous Mind soundtrack or something?
Sure was. Got quite a filmography. Man. Fond memories of 1995. Thinking about the stuff that isn't too heavy makes you feel good.
Yeah,
I think about the soundtracks to films and not, you know, the Oklahoma City bombing.
I think 1995 was the year of Smashing Pumpkins, Melancholy, and the Infinite Sadness.
I believe you're right. It was also the year of Lives, Throwing Copper. Not a great album. Like you said, the tail end of grunge.
Yeah. So we cut to Commander Venus in her sci-fi bodysuit, being led to the car by her servant. She gets a call in her car phone that's like a radio.
Yeah, her car, the top of it lifts up, too.
Oh, yes. It's like fancy.
Yeah. I don't think it moves. I think it's just a nice prop.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that might just be some like fancy car that existed at that point in time.
We don't have cool cars anymore.
No.
We got like a Tesla or the Cybertruck. A bunch of cars you got to plug into shit that might explode. Or they could just brick on you one day because like I don't know, the software didn't update right.
Yeah.
It's not cool. It'd be a lot cooler if the top lifted up.
Yeah.
Even if it did the rest of that stuff, I'd be like, okay, that's different.
Yeah. But anyway, she gets a call on her car radio phone thing asking for an ETA. She tells them that she's leaving now and gives them an ETA of 5. She punches some buttons, and then we fade in on a shot aboard the ship where we see Bev on the bridge of the ship pushing buttons and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we see some exterior shots of miniatures.
I quite liked.
Yes, these are wonderful.
Yeah.
We also see some spaceship footage that at first I assumed was stolen from like Battlestar Galactica. But then I remembered at the beginning, there was a credit for like video effects.
Yeah.
So I think these are original video effects because they're obviously produced on video, right. These shots.
Yeah.
So those are pretty cool. Then they're obviously little miniatures.
But no, they look nice. There was some surprising amount of effort put into at least making the exterior seem somewhat believable.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
As Commander Venus enters her room on this ship, she gets a call from Bev, again, the woman who was on the bridge of the ship, played by Holly Joy. Commander Venus tells her that as soon as the new exec arrives, to send her to see her. So Bev soon gets a radio message that Captain Moon is coming aboard, and Bev tells them to send her in. So Captain Moon then walks into the bridge. She is led aboard by some woman who disappears, and we never see her again. Moon asks Bev if she's the commander, and Bev tells her that the commander's in her cabin, cabin A1, but suggests that she gets squared away in her quarters first. So we get some more miniature shots, and then we cut to Commander Venus's cabin, where she's naked, other than some stockings, and starts to masturbate, clearly not awaiting a guest.
Yeah, she needs to focus on the ship's business.
She does. But instead, she's rubbing her labia and clit externally at first, and then begins to reach her fingers in as she plays with her nipples. We then cut to Bev showing Captain Moon her bunk. Apparently, Bev and Captain Moon share this room together. But we quickly cut back to Commander Venus, who uncovers a fleshy-colored dildo, which she begins to use to fuck herself.
When it was wrapped at first in like a cloth.
Yeah.
And it looked kind of fleshy anyway, and I was like, what is this strange thing?
Yeah.
I was disappointed when it was unwrapped. I watched Existenz recently.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like thinking, I was like, oh, maybe it's a one of those.
Like a fleshy, weird sack.
Yeah, that she's going to use. Well, it's the future, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows what they use? They just use regular dildos.
Apparently, yes, yeah. In this case. although we get to see more machinery as the film goes on.
That's right.
So Captain Moon asks Bev if there are no men on board, and Bev says that depends on how you count Quasar, but the women here do all right. Moon notes it's been 6 weeks since she's gotten any action. Meanwhile, Commander Venus is fucking her own brains out with this dildo. Bev kisses Captain Moon and tells her that they'll make sure that she's taken care of, but then she starts to walk away. Moon asks Bev, well, what about now? And Bev tells her that there'll be time later. Meanwhile, for Commander Venus, there's no time like the present, and she comes as she continues to fuck herself, and is indeed just finishing up when Captain Moon walks into the commander's quarters.
She's really going at herself hard with that dildo.
She is.
Captain Venus is a woman who just likes it rough, whether it's in a wicker chair or her own private quarters.
Indeed. Captain Moon apologizes for interrupting Commander Venus, adding that she didn't know it was pleasure period.
Oh, yeah.
But the commander tells her that she wasn't interrupting. The captain introduces herself, Christine Moon. She's a weapons and tactical attack officer reporting for assignment on the feminist regime starship Eros.
Okay, so that's where we first learn about the feminist regime.
Indeed.
Feminist regime starship Eros sounds like the name of like an 80s anime series.
Oh, yeah. It's probably pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds great. I would watch it. I mean, I watched this. Yeah, I watched the anime of it. Why not?
Venus asks Moon if she's stowed her belongings in her cabin, and Moon confirms that she has. Venus then tells her, strip and do me. And Moon says, as you say, Commander. So Moon quickly undresses and gets down on her knees and begins to eat Venus out. Moon plays with her clit as she munches away for a bit. We don't really get a good look at anything, but we see Venus's reactions in the shadow of Moon's hand as she's playing with herself. Moon then lays back on a leather stool, and Venus gets down and starts to lick Moon's clit. Venus fingers Moon as Moon plays with her nipples and moans. We get some more miniature shots of the outside of the ship and stuff. And then we see Quasar walk in. So Quasar has a C-3PO mask for a head.
Mm-hmm.
And a generic robot voice.
Yes.
Quasar apologizes for the intrusion, as he didn't detect that it was their pleasure period.
Yes.
Venus introduces Quasar to Moon. And Moon says, too bad he isn't human, we could use him. Venus tells Moon, say no more. So Venus then tells Quasar to walk over, and she pulls down the front of his pants to reveal his fleshy, biologically big cock.
Is anatomically correct.
Yes, is anatomically correct cock. Venus explains, he's all man from the waist down. Venus tells Quasar to respond to the captain's stimulations. Quasar says, as you wish.
Now, do you think they mean he's literally all man from the waist down?
I don't know. Maybe they took the bottom half of a man and attached it to the top of this.
Created this unholy minotaur.
Yes. Quasar tells him it'll take a moment to reprogram, and he shakes his head and beeps for a moment and then tells him reprogramming is complete.
There's a little, he has a little tape in his chest.
Yes, he does. As well,
that I guess keeps all his programs.
Yeah. Captain Moon then grabs his cock and begins to suck it. Venus watches and plays with herself.
Yes. And at this point, there's a synth reggae song that begins and goes on for quite a while.
Yeah, this continues for a couple of minutes until Moon bends over in front of Quasar. And he begins to fuck her in a standing doggy position as Venus continues to watch and play with herself. After a minute, we hear a beep, and Moon asks what happened. Quasar shrugs, and we see that his penis is soft again. Venus messes with some wires and a tape in his chest. Moon asks how long this will take, and Venus tells her it'll take just a moment to get him back up. So Venus sucks Quasar's cock for a minute, and then pushes it back into Moon, and he fucks her more. Moon is just about to get off when we hear on the radio a call for the crew to get to their liftoff positions. Moon says, shit, I almost had it, and Quasar withdraws from her. Moon tells Quasar after this mission's over, he's to report directly to her cabin.
Yes. We're about a half hour into this hour-long film, and they're about to launch.
Yeah. So we cut to some more miniature shots of the ship, and then cut to the bridge where Moon and Venus sit down with Bev to prepare for liftoff. We watch the miniature ship roll forward as they flip switches and turn knobs and talk through the takeoff process. This part, I put in my notes, rules.
Yeah.
It's very sci-fi, lots of miniatures and goofy stuff.
No, yeah, there's lots of good stuff in these little scenes.
They fire up the engines and throttle forward, and we see a shot of the ship flying off. We learn here that they're going on a search-and-destroy mission of an Amazonian ship. Venus tells Moon to change into her uniform so she doesn't have to face combat in her civvies, as she's still wearing her street clothes. So we cut to Moon in her quarters getting redressed, and Quasar walks into the room. She asks Quasar if he's spying on her, but he says he's there to fix a relay or something. Moon tells him, too bad, and then pulls him towards her, pulling out his cock and asking if he feels aroused during sex, or if it's just something he does as part of his programming. Quasar explains that he can be programmed to feel pleasure, but he isn't used for much of that. Moon, however, starts to suck Quasar's cock again. She plays with herself, and we get a shot of the ship flying through space.
Mm-hmm. And a reggae song comes back. I think this mic come out of Quasar, like when you start sucking his dick. I think it just starts like from like a speaker in his chest.
That's convenient.
Yeah, it's like that robot you were talking about when we watched Amber Aroused. The one that'll you put the tapes in.
Oh
his
yeah,
chest.
2XL.
Yeah, 2XL. I wrote down Big X12. I'd come pretty.
So Moon's really working Quasar's cock with her hands and mouth. She keeps at it for a bit. She asks Quasar if he's programmed for ejaculation. He explains that's one thing that he's allowed to do. Moon tells Quasar she wants him to come in her mouth and on her face. Quasar tells her, as you wish. Moon continues to suck and stroke Quasar's cock for a couple more minutes. And we see him waving his hands around and we hear some beeping. And then, in fact, it is going to pop.
Yeah, he does like an Alpha 5 type thing when he's going to come.
Yeah, he shakes his head and waves his hands, and then he erupts with a load all over Moon's face and mouth. She strokes and sucks his cock a bit more for good measure, and just then the door to Moon's room slides open. Commander Venus is there, and she yells for Quasar to end program and for Moon to consider herself reprimanded and to report to the bridge. So we cut to the bridge, and Quasar alerts the crew that an unidentified ship is approaching. Bev says, it's an Amazoid Stratofighter, second class, single occupancy. Quasar says the markings are Amazonian, and Venus tells them to ready the weapons, and we get some ship flying footage, and the ships fire at each other, which consist of just blinking lights on them.
Yeah, it's fine.
We see some small explosions on the bridge, and the camera shakes in classic Star Trek fashion.
Yeah.
Venus tells the crew to shut down unnecessary systems and divert all power to their weapons on the next pass.
Yeah, she really gets to do like a whole Captain Kirk thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Venus says, Chris, don't miss. And Moon says, I won't, Captain. So they fire again and apparently finish the combat there. Venus tells Moon to change into her punishment uniform. And Moon leaves the bridge. So we cut to Commander Venus in another room talking into a red tube. She's doing her captain's log or whatever. She's telling that on her first day, the new crew member had pleasure period with the commander and Quasar, did battle with an Amazoid Stratos fighter, and has had charges brought against her for misuse of equipment. She adds that it's hard for her to go forward with punishment, but it must be done. So we cut to Venus walking into a room with Moon. Yeah. They're both in their best Zardoz gear.
Yeah, they're just dressed like Sean Connery.
Yeah. Their tits bare. Moon's in a red-orange type outfit, and Venus is in like a blue-green outfit. Mm-hmm. Venus asks if Moon's ready, and she says yes. Moon tells her to assume the position. So she undresses and is strapped into a chair with stirrups. Venus says that she regrets having to do this, but the regulations are clear. Moon says she understands. So Venus starts to touch all over Moon's body and produces this laser gun that she shoots her with.
Mm-hmm.
There is no visual feedback here. The laser gun doesn't fire anything or light up or anything. There are just beeps and boops as she's shooting her with it.
And she writes all about, maybe it's like a heat gun.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But yeah, just, Moon herself moaning in response. Venus also caresses Moon's body and begins to finger her as she continues to shoot her with the laser. Moon continues to moan in pain and perhaps also pleasure for a while, and eventually Venus tells her that's enough and to report to her cabin. Moon asks about the enemy fighters, and Venus tells her she'll let her know when it's time to fight them and she can be there for the kill. Moon says very well and leaves. Venus picks up the radio and asks Quasar for the status report. Quasar says they're still in pursuit of the ship, and Venus tells them to continue pursuit and to establish orbit around the planet when they catch up. She also tells Bev to return to her cabin and ensure Moon's okay. So we cut to the door to Moon's cabin opening. She sobs and asks, "Haven't you done enough already?" But it's not Venus there, it's Bev.
Yes.
Bev says she hasn't done anything yet. Moon says she wants to be left alone, but Bev joins her in her bed, telling her it was the commander's orders. Moon asks if she's just there because the commander told her to be, and Bev says that's why she came there, but not why she's staying.
Oh.
So Bev starts to make out with Moon. And
it does seem to be, though, both why she came there and why she is staying.
Yes. She kisses her way down to Moon's nipples, and she licks and sucks on her nipples. Bev tongues Moon's belly button for quite a few moments here.
Yeah, too long.
Yeah, before kissing her way down to Moon's legs and vagina, which she begins to lick. Bev goes down on Moon for a couple minutes here, as Moon caresses her breasts and thrashes around a bit. Moon gets off, and the ladies make out for a moment before we cut back to the bridge. They're approaching a planet that they chase the ship to. They say that they detect no life on the planet. Venus tells Bev to return to the bridge and tells Moon to get dressed and get ready to join the landing party. Bev does not get dressed before returning to the bridge. She's just there naked and remains naked for the rest of the film.
She puts her boots on.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
So just as Venus and Moon are about to beam to the planet...
Yeah, I was concerned about Moon because she's in the red shirt, and as we know, it doesn't bode well, but it's a false alarm.
Indeed, because Bev detects that the enemy ship is exploding, so Venus tells her to lock on to the enemy pilot and beam them aboard. So we see the enemy flash into existence on their ship.
Not a bad little effect.
No. And Venus and Moon hold out their laser guns and train them on the enemy pilot. The enemy tells them it's not customary on their planet to thank others, and she'd have preferred to die. Venus tells her that she's being taken back to Earth, but the enemy tells them she must try not to escape. So the enemy introduces herself as Megan, M-A-G-A-N.
It's also written on her helmet.
Yes.
She is kind of like a pilot helmet, or like a Cylon type sort of like black helmet.
Yeah.
The Amazoids, however you like to call them, I think they dress a little sluttier maybe than the feminist regime.
Perhaps a bit.
Maybe that's the main difference between the two factions.
But Megan's the senior pilot of Her Majesty's Second Attack Squadron.
They have a queen. It's probably something else they might not have in the feminist regime. I don't know. I don't know how it's set up.
Moon leads Megan to the detention room. So Megan here is played by Tara Flynn, credited here as Linda Russell.
Mm-hmm. Does she have many other roles?
I have seen her before, okay. I believe.
I feel like the photo of her when I was looking at your Plex is just a photo of her from this, so I just made an assumption this was
She was not in a lot of things. Okay. IAFD has her in 12 things.
Okay, so a brief but bright career.
Yes. So Moon leads Megan to the detention room. Venus calls Bev and tells her to plot a course back to Earth, and that they have the enemy in the detention room. So Moon tells Megan that she's going to strap her to the chair, the one that Moon was punished in earlier.
Mm-hmm.
She tells Megan to undress, and Megan refuses. Venus joins them in the room and demands that Megan undresses again. Moon notes that they said all Amazonian pilots were flat, but she's surprised when Megan undresses and she has some jugs on her.
Wow, look at those tits.
So they strap her to the chair, but decide to leave her helmet on. Venus sends Moon to get Quasar. Venus says she has to ask Megan a question. What's a penis, she asks. Megan doesn't know what she's talking about. She explains because there are no men on her planet, she knows nothing about this. Venus says because of that, this interrogation is going to be more pleasure than anything else. So Moon walks in with Quasar.
That doesn't sound necessarily true.
I don't know.
But she knows what a man is, but she doesn't know what a penis is.
Yeah, I don't know. These Amazonians, I don't know anything.
They're backwards and flat.
Moon walks in with Quasar, and Venus tells Moon to get him up and let him give it to her. So Moon gets down on her knees and sucks Quasar's cock as Megan and Venus watch on, Venus beginning to play with Megan's vagina. This continues for a couple minutes, with Moon continuing to blow Quasar as the others watch. Moon then bends over and standing doggy, and Quasar fucks her from behind for a moment. Then Venus calls out, "Moon, take over." So Moon walks over and kneels down, going down on Megan. Meanwhile, Venus starts to blow Quasar. This continues for a couple more minutes. And then Moon calls out, "Commander, she's wet enough now." Venus stands up and walks Quasar over. Megan throws back her head and her helmet falls off. Megan starts to suck Quasar's cock as Moon continues to go down on her and Venus caresses Megan's breasts and plays with herself a bit. This goes on for a couple more minutes with a shot of Moon rubbing her nipples on Megan's nipples.
Yeah.
Quasar is shaking his head. Moon asks what's going on.
He's about to bust.
Yeah. Moon asks...
It's gonna pop.
Moon asks what's going on with Quasar, and Venus says, "It looks like he's going to come, but without being programmed to, that's impossible."
Oh, wow.
But we see Quasar come a big load and shake around. Quasar says, "Bless my diodes and resistors. I did it on my own. Hooray."
Oh.
We cut to some more shots of sucking and fucking.
It's like iRobot. He broke one of the laws. Now he can kill.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hear Captain Moon's ship log. She explains that Megan is now converted to a member of the crew and enjoying journeys with the rest of the crew.
Well, that's good.
We're promised additional entries later before getting the closing titles and the end. We get a card at the end that says, "Watch for the next exciting adventure of Starship Eros coming soon." As far as I can tell, this never happened.
No.
But that was Starship Eros.
I want to see more.
I do too.
But there isn't any.
I would watch this every week.
Yeah, I would watch. Let's crowdsource. Let's get the anime funded.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we could do that.
Feminist regime Starship Eros.
Yeah. It'll be on Netflix.
Yeah.
They love feminism over there.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
I think that's their agenda.
I think they have a feminist agenda. Much like Pornhub.
Oh, yeah.
As we'll learn later this week.
Yes. This Friday on Patreon, we're doing Pornhub Roulette. But, of course, we're doing it as part of the Raincoat Files.
Yeah.
So we will...
It's the Pornhub Files.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've opened them.
And we'll watch the skies and...
Watch the thighs.
Watch the thighs.
Yes. And we'll also take a little break.
Yeah. So we'll go ahead and take a break now. And we'll be back to give our final thoughts on Starship Eros.
Commander's log, Starfighter Eros. On her first day aboard ship, the new crew member has had pleasure period with Quasar and myself, has seen battle with an Amazoid Stratofighter, and has managed to have charges brought against her for misuse of ship's equipment. Her punishment is not an easy thing for me to do. However, the charges cannot be overlooked. Are you prepared for punishment?
Yes, Commander.
Very well. Assume the position.
All right, we're back on the Raincoat Report.
Hello.
Hello.
That was a good break.
It was a good break. We got a lot done, I think.
Yeah, we tidied up.
We tidied up, and now it's time once again for...
The Raincoat Review.
The button's stuck. Now, this film is... certainly a mixed bag of a film. It starts off on a pretty weak foot.
Yeah.
If you'd argue with me, there's not much flash to the beginning. It takes up until about the miniatures appear to get excited about it. But from then, it's pretty much what you'd want from a science fiction pornographic film. There's lots of pipes and stuff along the walls. People are in their sci-fi finery. There's a Star Wars character ripoff.
Yep.
Yeah. This one is similar to what we covered a couple of years ago, Star Babe.
A little bit, yeah.
Something in some of the manners of it, though it presents things in quite a different way. It's I guess we would have to call it a feminist masterpiece.
Yeah.
You know, you could call it that. It's certainly one of the top feminist science fiction films of the 1980s.
Yeah, I guess so. There's probably not a ton of competition.
No, that's how it got so high up.
Right.
But it does present an interesting vision of the future past with our crew, or with our all-woman crew doing battle against more women.
Yes.
It just shows that nothing really changes, you know? except if the men were in space, they'd probably also be fighting each other.
That's true.
Yeah, you know? So maybe it's, we're not so different, you and I. But, no, this film's, it's pretty goofy, but, I had a lot of fun with it. I do think, like, all the little sci-fi touches are nice. I love the miniatures.
Yep.
I would say probably the design of the film is probably, like, the main thing it has going for it.
Yeah.
I think the cast and crew are quite attractive, and, it's maybe the closest thing we've done to, like, an all-lesbian film, if you yeah. want to qualify Mike Ranger as a robot. I don't know. They should have just had, like, someone with, like, a dildo, or they should have hired that robot from Amber Aroused.
That's a good point.
Yeah. It's definitely an interesting watch. It's just about an hour long. It's not the most engaging or well-made film. Like, the sex scenes are sometimes a little poorly shot. And it's a bit rough around the edges. But I had a pretty good time with it overall. Wish there were more of it,
yeah.
to be quite honest. Like, I'm not going to, like, my ultimate, like, star review of it isn't, like, very high. But the entertainment value is definitely there.
Yeah.
I just kind of wish this had been a bit more developed. I think cutting out the first 15 minutes of this and putting something else in would probably have helped a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even having that... You could have had that scene to introduce Quasar instead of having human Mike Ranger for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a different sex robot. I don't know.
Something a little more sci-fi.
Something a little more that fits in a little more thematically, definitely.
Yeah.
Would have helped there, and I think got me more on board totally. I would probably end up giving it like a 2.5.
Okay.
I think it's interesting. It borders on monotonous at times, just because of the limited cast
mm-hmm.
and crew. Could have used some more interesting dildo choices. You know,
fair enough.
You know, some crazy alien dildos. You know, build something. Put something unsafe inside of you. I don't know. Maybe I'm jaded. What do you think, though?
I enjoyed it. It's definitely a film with limitations, as you said. The production value... in some ways is really high, and in some ways is really low.
Yeah.
It's
a sweet spot.
It's really cool that they put effort into the miniatures, and there was some effort put into, like, the set and costume design. Yeah,
video effects.
Yeah, it was... There's a lot more effort put into things that you wouldn't expect effort to be put into.
Than into maybe some of the stuff they should have.
Yeah, in some ways, yeah.
I could see that.
But at the end of the day, I would agree that, like, early on in the film, I was like, this is not great.
Yeah, I was just, like, ready to check out pretty early on.
But, like you said, as soon as the miniatures showed up, I was in.
Yeah, that's all it takes. I'm not a complicated person.
I found the quote-unquote torture scene very amusing.
Yeah.
And the sex scenes on board the ship were fine.
Yeah.
I'll say.
Yeah.
I think the crew's attractive, but the scenes weren't very well shot. and weren't creative within themselves very much.
Yeah, like, they don't use like the setting of them being on a starship for anything particular to being on a starship.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, by the time the film was over, I had a really good time with it. So I'm going to give it 3.
Yeah, I wanted more.
Yeah, that's fair.
I would like...
If there was a 65-episode weekly television show of this that was like 40 minutes an episode...
I would watch it.
Yeah, I'd be down.
Yeah. God, that would be great.
But instead, we've just got an hour of it, and 20 minutes of it was just a woman getting banged by a hot tub.
Yeah, on a wicker chair. Yeah. You know how many movies I can see that in? Most of them.
More than you'd imagine.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's Starship Eros for you.
So the Wicker Man?
Mike Ranger, the Wicker Man.
Oh, boy. What a delight that would be.
So, yeah, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Raincoat Report. RaincoatReport@gmail.com if you want to email us. Patreon.com/RaincoatReports, just $5 a month, and you get 2 bonus episodes and early access to our regular episodes. And in the meantime, keep your eyes on the skies, and don't forget your raincoat.
I need a fucking button, like I need an X-File sound button. I need this telepeeling. Can you put that in? You're not going to.
I'm not going to.
Say you will.
I'm going to say that I will and that I won't.
Say you, say me, say Inara.
Inara.
Ship's log, Captain Christine Moon. Starship Eros continues on its journey back to Earth with Megan, once captor and now a new converted member on board the Starship Eros, enjoying all the pleasures along with the rest of the crew. Additional entries later.